Together with American Songwriter, we had the opportunity to talk to Casey Conroy over Zoom video. Casey was born and raised in Orlando, Florida. She grew up in a very musical household. Her dad is a singer-songwriter. So she was singing and writing songs from a very, very early age. She said she was in like a duo with a friend writing songs at 9 years old. She started writing her own songs just by herself at 11. And her dad would help her write the songs, record the songs. She said she has recordings of her very, very young, 2-3 years old, singing on her dad's songs. She told us about the early shows she had played and how COVID actually gave her some time to really hunker down and write and record her record and really spend some time with the songs. She's released 2 so far. The most recent song from the record is called Background Noise. So definitely check that out. And you can watch our interview with Casey Conroy on our Facebook page and YouTube channel at Bringing It Backwards. It would be awesome if you subscribe to our channel and like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Bringing Back Pod.
We'd appreciate your support if you follow and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts.
We're Bringing It Backwards with Casey Conroy. This podcast is all about you and your journey in music and how you got to where you are now. And we'll talk about your new single, Background Noise, as well. Very cool. So first off, tell me where you were born and raised.
I was born in Jersey, South Jersey in Cape May, but I moved to Florida when I was really little. So I'm a total Florida girl now. I've lived here for pretty much all my life, like for 21, 22 years. Yeah, so I hate the cold, love the heat. I'm all Florida now.
Very cool. Very cool. And how did you get into music?
So my dad, he is a musician. He never pursued it as a job, but it's his like true biggest passion. Mm-hmm. He's an incredible songwriter, an incredible multi-instrumentalist. And so I grew up writing music with him and listening to music with him. He's from Ireland. So we used to like sing a bunch of like Irish folk songs and record them, or, like listen to music he loved. So like music was just always like the most natural thing for me to do. I was laughing with a friend the other day and saying like, when I grew up, I was like, oh, everybody doesn't write songs. Like, I just thought that was like what you did.
I thought that was normal
because my mom isn't like super into music, but like she was just used to it because of like my dad. And so like all we did was like write music all the time. My little sister, like she sings. And so I was like, yeah, this is what life is like. And then I grew up, I'm like, oh, not everybody does this.
Wow. How old were you when you started writing songs with your dad?
So it started like, and this, like some people will literally not believe me, but he's a producer as well. So he would like produce tracks. And even when I was like a toddler, like I would just go in and like babble like over his tracks. Like we literally have recordings of that. And then he would write songs and then he would have me come in and like sing them. And when I was about like, I would say like 9, I started doing like songwriting with my best friend in second grade. Like we used to write songs. We thought we were going to be like the next girl group. And I started writing music on my own when I was like 11.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. So you were obviously you were doing this very, very early on because of your dad. With the songs that you wrote with your friend, did you guys show those to anybody? And like, tell me about that.
So I found out later on, I didn't understand the world of like copywriting back in the day. And I found out like recently when I went back to like look at them, we only had like 2 songs that we actually recorded. And one of them was like a ripoff of a Hillary Duff song. Like literally it was the exact same melody. We just changed the lyrics.
Changed the words. That's awesome.
I didn't realize that was like a thing. Like I didn't understand that would like, you know, you can't do that. So that one, it can never come out. But there's another one that I'll have to release as like something fun one day, but we got like all the little kids in my neighborhood to come over to my house and record like gang vocals on the chorus.
Oh, wow.
It was like a real commitment. And then I remember like one day her dad took us to the mall to like get matching outfits for our music video, but we never recorded them in the music video.
Didn't make it to the music video.
Never made it to the music video. So the only thing I have to prove for it is those 2 songs, like one of them, which is just a fake. It's just copy.
Sure. That's funny. At nine, though, I mean, or wouldn't you say you started writing stuff on your own, like 11, you said?
Yeah, like, you know, I used to do this thing since as like as young as I can remember, where every time I was in the shower, I would like add on to stuff. So I would have like this little like lyric idea or whatever. And then every day I would shower, I would like add a little piece on every day. And like, it, I mean, it was terrible, I'm sure, but somehow I would remember it. And like, after a couple of weeks, I would kind of like have this song that I had like finished, like in the, I mean, like, don't be impressed. It was probably like just absolutely horrible. But, and that's like the earliest memory I have of songwriting. And then when I was like 11, I think I started like dabbling in the piano, and that's when I really started writing music, 11, 12.
Okay. And were you, once you started writing the songs on piano, were you playing them for people aside from like your parents or?
So I would play them for my friends, like when they would come over to my house. And I would, obviously I would play them for my family all the time, but I had really bad stage fright, like to the point where I would shake so bad you wouldn't hear what I was saying, like really, really bad. And so it took me a while actually to like get up on stage and perform original music. When I was young, like in middle school, I used to do theater and stuff, which mm-hmm. for some reason was different for me. Like I could get up on stage like and pretend to be somebody else. But when I had to be like, you know, vulnerable and be myself, it was just terrifying. And so I think the first time like I started really performing on stage, I was like 13, like my original music.
Okay. And what were those early shows like? Like where were you playing?
I remember, so the first time I ever remember playing an original song live, I was talking to of somebody about this, like this is so embarrassing, but I gotta be real about it. I used to like love One Direction. Like I loved them so much. You know how it is. Like I was just like the biggest when I was in middle school. Like I was just there for it. And so I remember I was like, I had so much stage fright. And that summer when they were huge, I remember thinking, okay, if One Direction could be brave enough to get up and like audition for, I think it was the X Factor.
The one that won. Yeah.
Yeah. And so if they were brave enough all to go and audition, like I can be brave enough to go and like do something. And so I auditioned for this, like Orlando's Got Talent in Florida. And when I had found out I got through like the audition, I was like, oh crap, like I need to learn how to perform on stage. So I went with my family to North Carolina, and there was like a little open mic night at like the community center, like in the city we were staying. And so I went and I performed an original song, and I like tied with like the local girl that was, you know, that she was there she was like the queen bee, you know, like there was no beating her. And so I performed an original song, and I performed a Natasha Bedingfield song, and I like tied, and I got like $25, and I like still have the $5 bill from it. So I was like,
that's so cool. So
and it was like the first time I ever played an original song. So I was like, man, I can do this. I'm good. And then I went to the Orlando's Got Talent, and I lost on the next round I went in.
But you still made it through the first round, which is huge.
Yeah, I made it through the first audition, but then like when I went to go do the stage one, they played my music and then the track just like cut off like in the first 10 seconds. And with my stage fright, like it was too much for me to handle that.
Right.
Like, so when I started back up, I was just a mess and just it didn't happen from there. So I was really bummed.
Yeah. Well, that's crazy that you got to, I mean, when you played that first show, I'm sure you won. They just didn't want to give it to somebody that wasn't the girl that was there all the time. Right.
Yeah. I have a feeling that that's kind of what it was like. Yeah. You can tie with her. Like we got to split I think it was like $50, like for the winner. And we got to split it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cause if you won, she would have had.
Yeah.
Yeah. It would have been,
they would have had to hear about it next week when I wasn't there.
And sure.
So I just was like, you know what? I'm taking it as a win. But yeah, I played this. Now I look back, I'm like, people must have thought I was ridiculous. This song that I played, it was like, I think it was called, I don't know why I remember this, was The Summer I Learned to Live Without You was the song that I played. it was pretty cheesy, but you know, it got me through.
That's nice. Well, that's cool. And like some of these songs that you released over the last couple of years, like Can't Get Enough or I Want You, like are those songs that you wrote and produced with your dad, or did he kind of take a different role when you started getting older.
That's a big conversation, actually. But yeah, he definitely did take a different role. And like the more I got into the industry and collaborated with different people, I kind of, you know, I met different producers and I was meeting, you know, different collaborators. And so he kind of just really went into that mentor role for a while. And it's funny that you say that, because it wasn't until, this is going to sound crazy, but really a couple weeks ago that we started like producing together again. And he's a businessman. So he went like the same exact time that I went to like really pursue music, he started a new business. And so we just kind of like, he was so busy, you know, building, you know, going on that, like, on that whole venture. And I was so busy kind of going on my venture. And so he, obviously he's like my biggest supporter and my biggest advisor and everything. But so we kind of like hadn't worked together in that way for a while. But Willie is kind of my collaborator, and we write the songs together and he produces all of my music. And so when Willie and I met, you know, we've been working together since Can't Get Enough and on. So, and then, so just a few weeks ago, my dad and I are like getting back into it, and he's producing again, which is, I'm so happy. I just put this video on TikTok a couple weeks ago that people thought was so fun, because I was posting my dad's like first track back in like 7 years that he produced.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was just such a weird, cool feeling. And it was like, man, I can't believe it's been so long, and not in any bad ways at all. Like, it was just busy. And I feel like our computer broke, so my dad didn't have Logic for like the longest time, or like the program, he knew.
Sure.
And so he's finally getting back into it now that he's kind of got his like business where he wants it. And so it was so nice to have that moment again.
That's really cool. That's really cool. So you put those songs out in 2019. Where were you when like the whole pandemic hit, and how did that affect your music?
So I had released a song. I had released a song like a few months before Best Shoes was the last song that I released before the pandemic hit, which it had like a few months in between. So that song specifically like wasn't affected by it, but I had like a whole like EP planned and everything like that. And looking back, like when the pandemic hit, we obviously like put a break on everything, but it was the biggest, obviously the whole thing wasn't a blessing, but in a small way, if we were to look at it, there was an upside in that we were able to stop and think and plan in advance and make decisions that were different from what we would have made decisions before. And we are releasing a different EP now, one that I feel, you know, is way better suited for the career I'm going for and who I am as an artist, and stop and just like, we're always moving a million miles an hour. And so to get to stop and actually strategize and not just release an EP and then be like, cool, okay, we did it. Like, what's next? So like, really just like stop and like really build the foundation and what's next after that EP. And then after that, and like really looking from a, like a long-term perspective. And so in a lot of ways we went and like built a whole EP during pandemic. And we released Say It, which was the first song we released during the pandemic. And then we released, Mad. We released Mad. And then we released Remind Me. So we released three songs during like the pandemic, which was so great to get to like stay consistent and finally like, you know, bring content to our fans in a time like where people really needed energy, you know?
Sure. And will those songs be a part of the new project or no? They're just singles that you put out.
We're going back and forth. Like, we have an EP worth of new songs. And right now looking at it, I think that some of those songs are really important to like the story we're telling in the EP. So right now I think a few of them are going to be, but we wrote enough songs, you know, new songs, to fill the EP on its own. So we're not sure exactly which way we're going to go. But I, it's funny, like, I just think some of those sounds, are really important to the overall experience of the EP. So they'll probably make their way in there.
That's awesome. And were those written and recorded during like the lockdown?
Yeah, pretty much. One of the songs that's going to be on the record, we actually, two of them, we kind of, there were songs I had written before and then we reproduced them and reworked them. And so even though they were technically written before the pandemic, they were really like brought to life, you know, during that time. So I really, it's totally like a pandemic record. I mean, it was so much of just that mindset we were able to get in and that focus. It really affected the way this EP came about. And it was just such a good time to stop and think, like, who am I? You know, like having that time to be like, what do I want to say? And not rush anything and really dig in deep in that way. And so I feel the EP is such a great reflection of that.
You feel like the pandemic helped help the record at all? I mean, it sounds like you had more time to really focus on it.
Yeah, I think
changed if we weren't in a pandemic.
So yes, the record we were going to release pre-pandemic is completely different from the record we're releasing now.
Okay.
So in terms of the record that's going to get released, it completely helped. And like, it wouldn't have existed without the pandemic almost, you know, and getting that time. Cause I work a full-time job as a nanny. And so having like the time off work, it just never would have happened. Like I would have never had like 2 full months just off work.
To sit and really work on the album.
Which funny enough, like by the end of the 2 months, I was like, I'm very much of like, in some respects, like I can work on music all the time, all day. Like it's my hobby and I just do it for fun. But being in a situation where I could literally do nothing but sit in my studio all day for two moments, I was like, I know I could go for a walk every once in a while, but I it wasn't enough. Like I need that, like, you know, different kind of mental stimulation and things like that. Like not being able to leave, I feel like after 2 months is like my cutoff. I'm like, awesome, we did it. I need to get back into the world. I'm like, I'm going total stir crazy. Like I was just going crazy.
Releasing those early songs in 2019, were you able to do a lot of touring or playing out quite a bit?
Yeah. So I play a lot in Orlando as much as I can. And then I travel a lot between Miami, New York, and LA, kind of those hot spots, to play as much as I can. Live, it's funny enough, talking about like the stage fright earlier, because I had to play so much to get over my stage fright. Now playing live is pretty much my favorite part about, you know, being an artist. I love playing live. So as many different kind of shows as I can get on, you know, I'm still really in that phase of just trying to build up my fan base as much as possible, which obviously I think that actually never changes, but especially like, you know, I have this EP coming out. Mm-hmm. I just want to keep building that foundation as much as possible. And so I was just traveling a lot and collaborating with my friends and putting on shows. And so, yeah, when the pandemic hit, it was like, I think it was my last show, I want to say it was in early March or late February. And then I didn't play a show for, I think, a year and a few months after.
Wow.
Completely straight.
It must be difficult to just sit there and not be able to play.
It was weird. And I will say we did about 20 live stream shows, I think, that year. Which was such a blessing to have that platform and tool. So we stayed pretty consistent, putting on shows, trying to, you know, get out in front of our audience, going in front of a lot of new audiences, which was something interesting I hadn't thought about, that, you know, before pandemic, we weren't really accustomed to just sitting in front of our computer or our phone and watching artists be like, you know? Like,
yeah, exactly. I mean, not only that, it's like it needs to be so fast.
Yeah.
Like our minds just don't sit and like collectively deal with like a long video, long form stuff.
Not at all. And to be honest, like I wouldn't have done it. I honestly wouldn't have sat on a live stream and I would have missed like that in energy so much that I just would have been not bored, but I wouldn't have been pushed to want to go see an artist I like on my phone on a live stream or on my computer when there was the other option. And so when there was no other option and we were kind of forced, like, okay, do you want to see that person live? Well, you have to, you know, watch it on your phone or your computer. I think we kind of got used to, you know, that kind of platform. And so I was able to reach a lot of new audience and a lot of new fans that way. All around the world, because people were doing it, you know, people were sitting down and watching live stream shows. And so I did a live stream show with So Far Sounds and a few other really great brands that allowed me to get in front of like totally new audiences, you know, and from many, many different places. And so in that way, it was such a really cool thing and such a blessing. But after I think like 20 of those shows, I'm like, oh, I'm tired of live stream shows. Like it is not the same. Like no matter what you say, like it's not the same at all. And so after a while you're like, oh gosh, like please people, I just need to be around people.
Right. Right.
I miss it. I'm a huge people person. Like more than anything, like my biggest passion, this is going to sound so cheesy, is really people. Like I just mm-hmm. love like connecting with people and meeting with people and meeting people. And so I just yearned for that. Like after that year, I just missed that socialization so much. So I did like, going back in, I was doing like a few acoustic shows to like ease back in like six, you know, obviously like 20 people, then they were all 6 feet apart and just really small intimate stuff outside. And now I've done like two pretty just like badass, still masks, but you know, pretty like, I wouldn't say full on shows. They're still like, everything is staying like pretty much under 100. So it's not going to be packed. But oh my gosh, the first show I did back where people were singing and dancing, it was just like the energy. I feel like I lived on that energy for like a week after that show.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine when it's all opened back up fully, those shows are going to be epic.
I know. Epic. And also weird. Like it's, and I, not as an artist, but I feel like as an audience member, I think about it now. And I'm like, the idea of like going into a crowded room where people are like touching you on every side, it, that was like, didn't even think twice about it back then. And now you're kind of like, oh, that's kind of weird. Like,
right, you know? Right. I know. It's so great. It's funny to think about that. Like how nobody really, the hand sanitizer and all that stuff was just like, oh, that's like some people did, but it really wasn't that big of a deal. No. And now it's like, everyone's got to make sure that they're totally clean at it's any
shocking.
Moment.
It's so shocking. And like, it's funny. I was at the gym this morning and I was just finishing off with like some dumbbells and this guy was going to come after me. And I was like running and I'm like, oh my gosh, I haven't wiped them down yet. You know, running to get my wife. I'm like, crazy. Like we had like, we didn't even think about that before, like wipe, I mean, which we kind of should have. Cause it's kind of gross, you know, like now I think like, wow, I just like would probably use dumbbells and like wipe my face off and like not even think about it. And now I'm like, it's like whenever I see like a TV show, I don't know if this happens to you or maybe I'm just crazy, but sometimes I'm watching a TV show and they like go in for a hug or like you see,
oh yeah, you're like,
and you're like, you kind of cringe for a second and you remember. And it's like,
what is that?
And I don't know why that like honestly happens to me now. Like you forget that like you could just like meet people and like out of nowhere and just hug them. You're like, now you're right. Like, and I'm a huge hugger. So that whole thing was like to learn. It took me honestly like a month within the first pandemic to like just stop hugging people. Yeah. I'm a hugger. Like when I see them, hey, like, how are you? And give them a big hug. And it was bad. And people, you know, how people would react. And now they're like, oh God, you know, like in the beginning, it was horrible. So
it's almost, you kind of get shamed a little bit if you're trying to do stuff like that. Yeah. Like mask shamed if you're at like an outdoor event and you're not wearing or like a park or something. Like, it's like, you're like, oh man, I forgot in the car. Like, what do I do?
I remember a couple weeks ago or about like a month ago, I went into like get my oil change on my car and I'm always wearing my mask and everything, and I honestly, it was in my car and I honest to God, like I just forgot, and I walked into the oil to the car dealership, and I'm talking to the guy and he's kind of just being like rude with me, like really short, kind of dismissive. I'm like, oh my God, that's like so mean, why is he being that way? And a few minutes like later, I realized, oh my God, I've been talking to him the whole time with no mask. He probably thought I was an asshole. Like it was the worst. And I'm like, I am not like, I always want to like be respectful and wear my mask, you know, like and whatever. And I was just, and I really like mid conversation touched my mouth and I'm like, I'm so sorry. And then he was like, it's okay. Like, you know, like you should have just told me, like, instead of just acting like I was,
right.
Just, like, you
it's
know,
kind of a weird thing though. You know, if somebody walks in, you're like, can you put a mask on? I don't know. It's just seems like,
I know.
I mean, it really isn't, but it kind of is. It's like,
well, Yeah, I guess what I figured is, like, I'm sure it said it on the door and I just didn't, like, you know, masks right. are required. And then he, right. it would have been so awkward. He would have been like, excuse me, ma'am, like, masks are required here.
Right, like, no, that's what I mean.
I'm not it's trying like, to be
such
that.
Such a
like,
weird conversation.
Oh my gosh, I'm trying. That's the worst. I have, like, really bad, like, short-term memory. I'm sure I have short-term memory loss or something. And I can just every, like, you know, like when you walk out of a restaurant, like, so you spend like that whole 30 minutes not wearing your mask and uh-huh. nobody around you is wearing a mask. So you go to like get up and walk out and it's hard to think like, oh, I have to put my mask back up. I mean,
right.
That's very dramatic. Like, it's not hard to think about it, but sometimes.
But I just, no, like, it really is. I mean, it's just something you just don't. You could, it's easy to like forget.
Yeah, because you know? You're like, I was just not wearing it for like however long I was in here. Nobody around me was like wearing it, so
right.
all, like, it'll, I find myself all the time like just like walking through the restaurant on the way out, and then I get to the end, I'm like, oh, I wasn't wearing my mask. Like, so like, those little things, like I don't know. I feel like sometimes I just don't want people to like look and be like, oh my god,
right, yeah, like, mask so shaming
you. Mask shaming, you know, so but I'm trying, we're all trying.
Well, it looks like stuff's opening up, and hopefully, I mean, I don't know what that means as far as the mask goes, but shows are gonna happen here.
Yeah,
that must
shows,
be exciting.
So exciting. And like I was saying, like I've been kind of almost not back into the full swing of it, but I have like I think maybe 3 shows this month. I had 2 last month, which is incredible. I mean, compared to where the rate we were on, like,
right,
just, I mean, we're up like 200%, so it's just incredible. But and it is nice, like, I got vaccinated a couple weeks ago, I got my second dose, so you can take that like that little breath, you know. I like,
right,
and I, you know how it was like in the pan, I don't know if you got COVID or not, but the longer you did.
I know I didn't.
You did it?
I just got the second shot today, actually.
Oh, okay.
So
God.
I heard that I'm going to feel like trash tomorrow.
Yeah,
but we'll see.
Like, yeah. It's been like 50-50. Like 50% of the people I know have been like dead. Like me, I was like out for 24 hours. And then the other people, nothing. Like just a sore arm. So.
Oh, yeah. I know. We'll see. My wife had it. I had to get a surgery done. That's why I don't even have like a cut here. But I've had 4 neck surgeries. Anyways. So I couldn't get the second one. So I was like, my wife got it, and she like was, she felt bad for a day, and the next day was fine.
Yeah. That's how I was.
So we'll see, but she had like the itchy arm and all that stuff. I don't know. I don't really have, I just have the Band-Aid so far, but
yeah, I had like, I kind of kept like having a, like move, like somebody punched me, you know?
I felt like that at the first one. So we'll see with the second one. See how it goes, but
but yeah, so I felt like as it went on, like I was lucky and I hadn't gotten COVID, so like the more time went, I was like I felt like I was racing the clock. I'm like, let me just try to get to the end without getting it, but like the stakes kept getting higher and higher, like,
right,
as
right.
time went on. And so when I got my second shot, I was like, and I waited like the 2 weeks for the, you know, the 100% or whatever they say, what's the word when you, immunity.
Yeah.
And so now I feel like, I can take a breath a little. And so it's just been great. Like kind of getting to see my friends and music again, and I'm playing shows with them. And the energy is just different. Like you were saying, because people missed it so much that they're coming out in ways they weren't before, you know, like maybe most times they would be like it's a Thursday night, I'm not gonna go there after work, and now people are like, hell yeah, like I just want to go
right,
see
they
my
just
music
be outside
out.
And be around people, totally.
So there's just like a different energy level that you just feel, you know, like you're now, like shows are selling out in ways they wouldn't before, you know. And so it's just fun. It's fun, like to see that, like people wanting to dance and sing, and they're just so excited. I hope it doesn't wear off for a while.
Yeah,
you
people
know?
Took it for granted, you know, before, and now it's like, yeah, like you said, oh, it's Thursday. Oh, that band will come back. You know,
no,
it's all right. I'll still see them in 2 months and then come back on another tour. Now it's like, oh, they're coming? Okay, I need to get tickets because I don't, you know, if this thing gets shut down again,
yeah,
like,
exactly.
At least I want to see them in this window.
Exactly. It was so funny. I just played a show last weekend, and I had a few friends that they came out, and they literally like changed in their car from work. And I'm like, I was just laughing. I'm like, you would have never done this before.
Right.
You know,
totally.
I probably wouldn't either. You know, like there's just a commitment level that it's just, I'm very excited about.
That's super exciting. And then the most recent song you put out is called Background Noise. Tell me about that song real quick.
So I wrote Background Noise a few months ago. And it was, I was kind of in this moment and dealing with this frustration of getting compared to a lot. I feel like as an artist, sometimes, you know, especially with social media and like the numbers game and stats, so often there's a lot of just comparison happening. Like, look what this person is doing. Oh, they tried this and like this worked. And it, that's a great thing, you know, and that helps you learn. But every once in a while, like, it can get overwhelming. And so I wanted to write this song all about blacking out that background noise and just focusing on what you do and what makes you you. And it's a fun song because when you listen to it, it's very upbeat. It's very high in energy. It's really fun. But the message is more intense and serious. And I really kind of wanted this, you know, this irony in the song that you could like dance and have fun with it. But there was also like a seriousness to the message, like almost a rebellion in a way, you know, against kind of what I was saying. And so I was really excited to put it out. And I've been loving kind of doing these, like, say it is like this, these fun upbeat songs that people can just put on and dance around their room and not think about. And so I was really excited to do that with a song that had like this, you know, packed message in it as well, which is important to me. That storytelling aspect is always really important.
That's amazing. And was this, I did see on your Instagram, like, you have a picture of your dad at a computer producing songs. Like, did he help you on any of these new songs or any of the songs on the new record?
No, that video actually is, that video I was telling you about of my dad putting a track, like doing his first track, like in 7 years.
Oh, right. Okay.
That's actually him doing that. And so I was just so proud. Like, I just wanted everybody to hear it. And it was funny, if you listen to it, when I did it on TikTok, like a bunch of people were saying, he needs to be like a video game composer. Like, it sounds like a GTA like menu vibes, which is, I do not play video games, so I do not know. And he does not either at all.
That's a huge market though. Oh my gosh.
I know. So and he was so funny about it. Cause I mean, it just did a little well on TikTok, like nothing crazy, but he was like he was trying to play it cool, but he would be like, oh, like, how's my TikTok video going? You know, like, he tries to play it really cool. Like, he doesn't care, but right. And I would like tell him, read him all the comments and say like, dad, like they said, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, oh, cool. Let me see. You know, like, he was funny. Like trying to play it off, but he
pretty soon he's going to have a TikTok and comment below. Like, hey, follow me.
I'm
the guy in the video.
He should. He would do better than me, I'm sure. Like, he's so funny. But yeah, I was so proud of him.
That's very cool. Well, thank you so much, Casey, for doing this. I really appreciate it.
No, thank you. I was so excited when you reached out, and anytime. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, of course. I do have one more question for you. I want to know if you have any advice for aspiring artists.
Oh yeah, that's a packed question. Let me see. This is a simple one, but this is something I'm always thinking about, but try all the time to just be as you as possible, as authentic as you can be, as real as you can be, as scary as that can be, and as vulnerable as that is. It's the absolutely only thing that allows you to be as unique as possible in a super crowded marketplace. Because people are going to do similar sounds than you. People are going to wear similar styles. The only thing that can like set you completely 100% apart from everybody else is who you are and your personality. And it's going to be like nobody else's. So lean into that as much as possible. Trust that, you know, and in the weaknesses and the strengths, you know, just give yourself a safe place to grow and to develop, and you'll get there. Consistency and persistency. That's my favorite things. I'm still telling myself this all the time as well, but